Hello and welcome to this episode of the ESG Fitness Podcast. I have Ruth and Maureen with me today. We've never had this three. Wait, we have, haven't we? We have.
With Andy as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, Ruth, how are you?
I'm good. I've had a busy week, but it's been a good busy. I say busy week. Can I just say, like, busy doing lovely things?
Oh, what have you been doing?
I went for a spa evening yesterday evening with my husband, and then I'm off to London this weekend as well. My son, yeah, so my youngest, he's got his things that he loves, and he loves afternoon tea. So for Christmas, I bought him I know it's super cute, but every year for Christmas I get him an afternoon tea, and we normally go somewhere local, but he's, you know, he likes to look at the nicer things in life. And I booked him for 2 afternoon tea at the Ritz. So just me and him are going to the Ritz for afternoon tea.
Where are you putting your husband and your other child?
They're going to have a Deliveroo. We're staying at someone's house and then Deliveroo. Oh, but they're coming up to London. But I was like, I mean, I've never been to the Ritz. And I did think it's not somewhere you normally go just with a 12-year-old. But we're going to go. Do that together.
Oh no, I love that. Love that. Maureen, how are you? Going to the Ritz this weekend or?
No, unfortunately not. I'm staying in Westport with the snow. Yeah.
So I'm doing something mad. I'm gonna fly to Gatwick, rent a car, and then drive to, where is it I'm going, Ruth? What's it called?
You'll get what? Tomorrow, tonight or tomorrow?
Well, firstly, I'm going to Exeter, and then I'm going to drive on to, what's the place called I'm going?
You're going to Polzeath. Well, there's Polzeath and New Polzeath.
Is it called New Polzeath?
New Polzeath is pretty much Polzeath. It's just that you have to go,
it's
go
marketing type, isn't it?
Well, you can drive a different way there, but the beach is the same beach, really.
Okay.
I'm probably going to get told that that's not true, but yeah.
Okay, well, that's where I'm going, which is
literally
the other side of the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So that's going to be fun. Also, I got the nicest message about Ruth.
Me?
Yeah.
What?
It's from Lisa. She just said, she says, "Hi, Emma. I know I've just said this in the group, but thank you again so much for letting me stay on. I feel like I can tick the chemo box and move on now once radio is out of the way and get back to being healthy and strong." By the way, full context, this is one of our clients, Lisa, who has been going through cancer treatment while also in the Commit to Six group. Anyway, she says, "I also want to tell you how wonderful Ruth is and has been with my check-ins. When the check-in hasn't resolved..." Sorry, I'm ruining this by not being able to read very well. It's actually so nicely written. "When the check-in hasn't revolved around workouts or hitting fitness goals, she's helped me focus on what I could control and gave me ideas of different things to try and ease the side effects or help me sleep better. Ideas for food and all over, she's just been absolutely amazing. I've been touched by her kindness and compassion, and I've been very grateful that she's been my coach through this."
Oh, do you know, she sent me on Instagram that video yesterday of her ringing the bell. And I'm pretty hard when it comes, like my husband says, you have to be really, really mean to make me cry. But I was like, felt myself welling up. And I was like, oh God,
actually just reading that.
It's really, I think she doesn't realise the impact she's had just having, because I remember her first check-ins. I won't go into detail, but I remember her first check-ins before her diagnosis, and they were kind of, you know, there, and I remember her mentioning, and then just how she's been on this journey has been like really inspirational, because she's used it as, you know, there's been horrible changes, you don't want to find that out, but she's kind of embraced focusing on everything she can do, and she really is an inspiration there, and I'm glad she stayed.
Oh, me too. Like, and I don't think she realizes the impact she has on the group by just, like, you know, just by being there, being herself, and like, kind of like the no excuses. Like, I think it's so motivating to see what someone else can be going through and is still like prioritizing their health and checking in with the group and like supporting other people. Like, that's the other thing. It's like, Oh my God, that's amazing. You managed to get to the gym, even though at the moment, like, she can't do those things and still being happy for other people and celebrating their wins. I just think it has such a positive impact on the group as a whole. So we're very lucky to have you. But she also says, you're right, coaching is so much more than just about fat loss. I realized that last year, but I've benefited from it even more this year from having the right support. Having the right support can get you through anything.
It's been nice seeing her on the group calls as well, because she's been coming to the group calls and just kind of being there. So yeah, she's still been very much part of the community.
All right, great. Quizzes.
Right. Well, the first question does include a picture, and I was like, oh, do I say it? But actually, I think you'll love getting in a rant about this. So off we go. But it's that I saw this on Instagram from someone who normally is quite sensible about exercise, etc. Is this bullshit? Feels like there's a ton of red flag words here. And there's a picture of some supplements called Estro Support. And the wording under it says 4 years strong with Estro Support. They help with the breakdown and detoxification of estrogen, removes toxins, and for me, helps with my cellulite.
Yeah, I'm laughing because someone asked the exact same question on the EC method. So I know exactly who it is. I know exactly where those supplements come from. And I looked through them yesterday and there's like literally nothing in there that's worth anything. I mean, like probably one of the best ingredients in there is sulforaphane, which is just like a antioxidant that comes from broccoli extracts. Like, you'll get just as much from having a varied diet. In fact, you'll get way more from having a varied diet. You don't need to spend that on supplements. It's not normalizing your estrogen levels. What is it claiming? Detoxifying yourself? Like,
Detoxifying of estrogen, removes toxins and helps with her cellulite.
but if you read into the actual, because I clicked in, I looked up the supplement, and it says about, you know, they're for helping get rid of that stubborn belly fat and all those
Oh, but
stupid.
UP is known for this, right? So, like, all of UP is a gym primarily in London. I think there's some all over the world now, actually. But initially, when they started, does anyone remember Charles Poliquin?
Oh, yeah.
He used to do his certification. He was very involved. It was like that kind of
You know
vibe.
the Poliquin
Yeah,
lateral raises.
you could be a Poliquin practitioner, which means that essentially what they do is they'd show you where you were storing your body fat and then sell you tons of supplements based on where you're storing your body fat. And that was the whole kind of like UP Poliquin blah thing. It's mad that it's still going around, but obviously, clearly it is. Obviously, she has a very big following. Please do remember that she is from Hollyoaks, doesn't have like a background in nutrition or a degree or anything. You know, like just be wary of like what people are pushing, what they benefit. She's obviously clearly heavily associated with UP. Like, yeah. If it's doing anything, it's a placebo. When I looked at it, I was like, to be fair, none of these I don't think are dangerous to be taking. They probably just don't really do anything. I think the other thing to just remind people of re-supplements is like they are not tested. You can basically just say anything is in a supplement. Like, there's no like FDA testing. And like, when people test the dosages of supplements, they're so wildly off. Some of them don't even have the active ingredient in. Like, this was especially done on, Ruth, you'll remember
CBD,
the name,
CBD. They did
CBD, but
CBD.
also, what's the one for menopause? Black cloth or.
Oh, back cohosh. That doesn't work. That's not got any evidence really
No,
supporting it, has
like,
it?
one,
No.
there's no evidence, but when they tested that supplement, loads of it didn't have any of that ingredient in it anyway. 30% didn't even have any of the ingredient in. So just be very, very careful when you're spending on supplements that, I mean, even if they did work, they might not have the active ingredient. And like you say, CBD, it was like 25% of the supplements tested didn't have any traceable CBD in, let alone the dose that they said that they had in them. So it's just a very murky area. And with things like that, and like, I'm glad that someone posted that. And, you know, if anyone, especially in the Commit Six group, is thinking about buying any supplement, really, just run it by us. That's why we're here. Like, we don't want you to waste money on stuff that's not going to work. Now, We have no bias. If I was like, oh yeah, that might work, I want you to get results. Like, I'd be like, yeah, I think that might be good for you. Or I'll tell you, that's quite expensive and you might get the same benefit from just taking some vitamin D or from eating more fruit and veg or whatever. Or I'll give you like the pros and cons for you. Because this is something I've spoken to Amelia about. And she's like, I take collagen. Like, she's like, I know it's probably not going to do very much, but there might be a small benefit that it does. And I'm in a position where I can spend money on that. So I'm happy to do it. There's no real negative side effect for me. Okay, fine. But you know, like you're spending that money under like that knowledge and knowing what to expect from it. I think that's the most important part. And then you're making an informed decision that's right for you.
Yeah. I mean, the bonus of her having that is the big glass of water she might be having with it.
Yeah.
Healthy. But sorry, just going to get Emma to talk more about this. But the other thing is the often when you look at the ingredients on particularly menopause, but I'm sure it's the same with anything, there are ingredients that you'd be like, oh yeah, that has got some evidence about it, but it's in such small quantities that I'm like, nah, I'd just be tempted to buy the separate supplements and then take them at the proper dose.
Yeah, and probably way cheaper. And then the other thing is, and I think this is again like kind of complicates it further, is that things that do work especially may be impacted by other things that you're taking. So like you don't know that the combination of things that you're taking is a benefit, or that they're not doing the same things. You know, like you might be taking one thing to increase insulin sensitivity and another thing that works by exactly the same mechanism that would have no benefit because you're already doing something else. Like you have to think about like everything that you're taking as well. Most people don't need to take anything.
Yeah. And in relation to like weight loss, like there is no supplement that you can take that will enhance weight loss. If there was, like, we wouldn't have jobs because everybody would have started taking them a long time ago and have their problem solved. But like,
they're kind of it. They're just not as effective as what people think. Like, caffeine is a quote unquote fat burner. You know, like it's thermogenic. It might reduce appetite a bit. Like, cool, but it's not going to be the reason that someone goes like loses 50 pounds.
Yeah, but without doing anything else, like there is no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As I say, and then if you're drinking so much caffeine, you're not sleeping, you might want to eat a bit more.
Yeah. Or, you know, if you take a pill that makes you extremely unwell. Hey, yeah, maybe. But like apart from that, I probably wouldn't suggest that. I mean, like there are now obviously like Ozempic and things like that that are very effective.
I wouldn't consider them a supplement though. Like,
no, this when is medicine.
Yeah,
agree. Yeah, slightly different. Yeah. And it's not like you can't, like, you would still have to eat less. It's just you won't want to eat as much. Yeah. All righty then.
Next question. It says, hello, lovely coaches. So it's not that. I keep hearing, fun. I know, it's, yeah, nice one. I keep hearing about HYROX at the moment. What exactly is it? And what are the pros and cons compared to a typical lifting session? Thanks
well,
kindly.
Ruth, you, that's for you.
Yeah, so HYROX is a bit of fun, but I definitely wouldn't train all the time in a HYROX way at all. So I'll just quickly say what it is. So in HYROX, you've got running and then you've got kind of some stations, which are things like rowing, ski egg, warble, farmer's carries, burpee to broad jump, and I can't remember, prowler or sled pull to push and things like that. So there's an element of you're going to be working some strength in there, in the sense that you're going to be working your core and the farmer's carries and so on. But it's a bit more cardio, if I'm honest. And the way that I'm training, I'm doing HYROX in sooner than I'd like, in a few weeks. I think I'm just looking at the date. And the way I'm training is I'm still doing my lifting sessions. So I'm still doing, at the beginning of any session at the moment, I'm still doing a certain strength-based element. And then I'm going into more of a HYROX style training, but I wouldn't neglect my progressive overload style training in for HYROX. I just see HYROX as something that, you know, it's fun, get a bit fitter, but if you want to get stronger, I'd still make sure that you're programming in that progressive overload.
It's about being specific, really. Like, because HYROX itself is like a fitness race. So the training for that is specific to that race. So if you're not partaking in that race, then that you don't have to train in that way. But if you're doing that race and then you're going out swimming and cycling, well, you're not actually training the exercises that you're going to be doing in the race. So that's why it's very specific training of like a run and a functional movement. But there's absolutely no reason to stop doing the normal training that you're doing just because everybody's now jumping on the HYROX bandwagon.
Yeah, like, especially if you don't want to compete in HYROX. You know, it's like being like, oh, I've seen some people doing triathlon. Should I do that? Well, not if your goal isn't to do a triathlon, unless it is, which is great. And like, same with HYROX. Like, if you want to do that, then...
There's no way I'd be training HYROX style all the time unless I had, and in fact I've not long, because I run anyway, like, you know, I just tick over with my running and I do strength training, so I'm not that worried about going, and I'm not looking to compete and do really well. I'm just looking to go along and have some fun, and I'm doing doubles, so I get a bit of respite there as well. But I've just now, this next kind of for a month, just practicing the movement patterns and making sure I'm happy. I'm doing it with a girl called Jenny, who I did it with last time. And she's loved, but she's a really good runner. So that what I realized is it's one thing being strong, but actually it's the running that if you, because you kind of want to be able to run at a decent speed and recover so that you can go back into the next exercises. So if your running is weaker than the person you're with, you're going to arrive back each time pretty knackered. But yeah, last time she's very nice to me, and this time we'll see.
But it's a really cool thing. Like, you have to be really physically fit to do that well. Like, it is unreal, like, to be able to do that. And it's a great achievement to say you've done it.
You're doing it next time, aren't you, Maureen?
Not a notion. No.
That you signed up.
I need it. I actually need a partner, because the girl that I'm doing it with this time, everyone was like, let's go and do Birmingham in October. And she was like, she's booked into the singles. So I've been dumped, it's fine. So sorry.
Oh, I'd be coughing up a lung, like, there'd be no, I'd be halfway through and I'd be like, no, I have to stop.
That would really boost. I'd be like, that's okay, I'll drag Maureen around. It makes me feel good.
No, I'm too competitive with myself. I'd be killing myself for being crap.
Oh, then you'd probably kill me too.
I like all the dynamics to it though, of like, you need a partner who's like obviously of a similar ability, you can bring out the best in each other, that like, even if you think about the physiology, like, ideally what you want to be happening is between those strength based, but they're not like ultimate strength based, right? It's going to be quite like lactate building strength kind of like HIIT style stuff. You want to be at a pace where you can be clearing blood lactate levels so that you've recovered enough to come back. Like, yeah, it's just like the fitness and the physiology of it. I'm like, oh, it's actually quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the war balls felt pretty horrible at the end, by the end of it, because you have to do, well, I think it's 75 between you, so you know, the run you both have to do, but the rest is shared. But it isn't like, I think that doing a half marathon is worse in my, like, maybe that's just because running something, if it's a long time, I just get inside my own head. But with this, because you're changing all the time, and because your partner's on
things, like, I loved doing 400 meter hurdles, hated running flat 400 meters, even though technically people are like, well, it's kind of easier, like, you don't have to do the hurdle part. But I'm like, no, because all I thought about was there's the next hurdle, there's the next hurdle, there's the next hurdle. And whereas if it was a flat 400, I was like, oh my God, my legs are giving up already. I'm not even at 200 meters. Like, oh, I'm not feeling great. Oh, this isn't good. Oh, well, you like overthink it, right? And same with the marathon or half marathon or whatever. Just if you know it's just the running, you're like, oh, it's still quite far to go. Like, I've not been that far. Whereas if you're like, right, all I need to do now is, I don't know, a couple of minutes run, and then I'm going back into that next exercise and to nail that. Okay, now I've nailed that. Right, what's next? What's the next exercise? And you kind of just breaking it down. I do think psychologically it's easier that way.
Oh,
I
I'm
think
the same
so.
with football. Like at football training, if we're running with the ball, not a problem. I can enjoy that. The ball is distracting me because I'm able to kick it or pop it or whatever. But if it's like just straight run sprint and in my head, I'm like, can't do this and don't like it. But as soon as somebody hands me a ball, it's like that. You're distracted off the actual thing that you need to do.
I wasn't sure if everyone else is like this because I find that I'm worse in a race in particular. So if I've done the training and I'm running faster and I'm doing half marathon training or whatever, I can be like, oh, feeling pretty good. Get to the event and get to the point where I know I'm going to struggle. And I'm like, you're really bad at running. I don't know why you just don't just sit down and give up. And I remember once being overtaken by quite an older, bigger guy dressed as Batman. And I was like, brilliant. Even Fat Batman's getting past me.
Oh, I can't believe it's Fat Shamed Batman.
I know. Batman.
yeah, it is interesting, like the like what happens in your head. Like I always make it completely irrelevant. I'm like, well, if you don't push this sled to the end of the track, no one's going to sign up to commit to six. Like nothing to do with anything. I'm like, you can't push yourself. Why the hell would anyone want to work with you? Like, or like, you don't deserve success in other areas of your life if you can't just freaking, like finish this.
I feel seen because that's the type of weird stuff that goes on inside my head as
Well, I was telling my mum about this and she was like, oh yeah, so she used to cycle into work every day when she was doing her PhD and it was at the top of a big hill. And she was like, oh no, I was fully going to fail my PhD if I didn't get to the top of the hill every day. Like that, I just had to do it. Like I had to cycle up that hill every day or I'd fail. Now, obviously those two things have nothing in common.
But they
Absolutely.
do too, like they don't logically, but like it's
But
having
it's
the mental
psychologically,
toughness.
yeah. It's being like, I'm going to say I'm going to do something. I'm going to hold myself to it. And I'm going to do it. And this is why we always talk about like making a promise to yourself and how if you do this right, it transfers to every area of your life and become more confident, more outgoing, and more successful in every area. But if you do it wrong, you become less, like less likely to go for things. You start questioning yourself more. You're like, I'm the kind of person who doesn't show up for myself. Like I say I'm going to do something and then sometimes I don't do it. And it's that like trust in yourself of when I say I will do something, even if it's as, small as like, I'm going to get up every morning and try and do 10 push-ups, but I'm actually going to do it. Or like things that you know you can do, like Ruth knows she can finish the 5K training run. So it's not like it's without her, like out with her ability to do it, but it's like, are you going to give up on yourself here because it's a bit cold and wet, or are you going to keep going? And it transfers.
Does.
Agree.
Yeah,
All
that's
right, next question. Don't even know how
well,
we got onto that, but oh,
I
hold
well
up.
we've been chatting about Hyrux, but it's yeah, and about how Maureen's tempted. Anyway, the next question is Maureen's written it, but I'm guessing it's come from a check-in, not a question she had. If you have a night out planned, is it better to lower your calories throughout the day leading up to it, or should you just carry on as normal?
This is definitely a question, Maureen's question, isn't it?
For myself.
Asking for a client, I swear. What?
Oh, actually, on that note, today marks the day I'm going to have to post it on Instagram and tag Amelia. I haven't drank in a year. I'm
Right,
definitely
to
posting
give
that.
context to this, right? Amelia posted something. It was like biggest new ick when someone gives up alcohol after like having like two beers a week and then makes this huge massive deal out of it. And she got so much like backlash and hate from it. But it's similar. It's like whenever we talk about going teetotal or like being teetotal or whatever, I'm always a little bit because like me and Andy are, Ruth, you're not, are you?
No, but I mean, I haven't drank at all for the last like six, no, not since I came back from Barbados. And then before Barbados, I didn't drink again for another couple of
Yeah.
months. So I just drink occasionally. I
So
just
like
choose it in advance.
to give up would be no effort for you. Like, right, sometimes like when I'm talking to Andy about it, I'm like, neither of us tried. Like it's not the same. And you cannot compare yourself to someone who has struggled with alcohol addiction, or maybe not even to that extreme. Maybe it's just like has been a huge part of their life and then they've given it up. That is hard. It is not the same. And actually, when you transfer that into other areas, like if I was like, hey, anyone want to sponsor me to run a 5K? People would be like, Not really, because it's not really very hard for you, is it? Whereas if it was someone who's like never run before, maybe it's quite overweight and is trying to lose weight or whatever, like that might be a huge achievement to run 5K. Like, I think looking at the outcome, it isn't massively useful for some of these things. Like, it is very easy for some people to give up alcohol. It isn't for others. Now, you can't always see behind that. So you might have someone who only drank 2 beers a week, that actually did really struggle to give that up. And that is a big achievement for them. And it has really had an impact on their life. But I think for some people, it's like, you know, like me turning around and being like, oh, you know what? I quit smoking as well. So, you know, quit smoking, don't take any drugs anymore. Like, you know, like, okay, literally never did any of those things anyway, or never to like any extreme. So yeah, it is interesting. But likewise, I guess the other side of that is that you can't see from the outside how much someone struggled with something. So
Yeah,
I'm
and it
still
can take
trying.
time, and it can take time because I don't drink much now, but when I was teaching, I'd get back and have a glass of wine in the evening like years ago, but actually
Yeah,
it
because now
took a
you
while to realize.
probably love your job.
Yes, exactly. And also I realize how it doesn't do what you think it does of relaxing you. It's the worst thing. But anyway, so there we go. Yes, I love my job. Maureen, did you want to answer the question?
Question. Yeah. So I think this really depends. Like, I did answer this question for the person in her check-in. And it really depends on the person, and it depends on like your goals and your history. Like, somebody who has like a high expenditure and who's on higher calories can get away with saving calories for a night out than somebody who's like in a smaller body on a lot lower calories. And somebody who struggles with like disordered eating patterns, binge eating, or anything like that, again, I wouldn't be recommending people restrict their calories. So it's really person dependent, context dependent. But for this particular person, there's like history of binge eating and that. So I didn't recommend that there was any compensating for calories. If it's a thing that you're going out once every now and again, it's like it's not a big deal. Just eat as normal, enjoy your night out, carry on the next day. If it's a thing that you're going out regularly, then, and it's impacting your goals, then there will have to be some accommodations made. But that's where like working with somebody can be massively helpful, because it's not just a blanket statement, oh yeah, bank calories, because that can be very damaging to somebody.
Yeah, I agree. I think it should be quite person and situation specific. Like, if we've got someone who's going out for dinner every week, we need to account for that. If you're like, oh, I'm going for afternoon tea at the Ritz, this is like literally a once in a lifetime or like year at least. Like, it's, you know, you're not doing it every single weekend. We don't even need to consider it. Like, there's no point Ruth thinking about her calories that day. She's not going to know what they are. She might just eat to satiety, eat a little bit less in the morning, and eat a smaller dinner. Like, that's it. Then she moves on, gets on with her life again. No need to account for anything. If you're going to do that frequently, then yeah, we probably do need to think about how we're going to manage your energy balance. But yeah, totally agree. I think person specific, and if you have struggled with binge eating, overeating, then yeah, you obviously wouldn't want to bank your calories in the same way.
I find as well, I don't know if you guys would find this, but if you are looking to bank your calories, that day, that then you will eat way more than you would have normally anyway in the evening. So, like the Ritz, for example, I'm not planning on coming out of there feeling absolutely stuffed and I'm going to have my breakfast and lunch because it's much later, but it's just they might be smaller. I'm not going to go in starving
Yeah.
because of it. Because I'm thinking, oh gosh, there's going to be loads of calories. I'll still eat because then I'll be able to enjoy it more without being starving.
Yeah. And then the other thing as well, that Maureen touched on this, is like, if you're on lower calories, you have less to play with. So you do have to be a little bit more careful. Whereas, don't know, if like we were talking about Andy here and he's eating 3,000 calories, then like, yeah, they probably can just fit it all in a day and have it. I mean, might not even have to have a smaller lunch, but like drops one of the snacks that he has or something, you know? So it really is like person specific.
And that's where it can be hard if you are a small person with a much bigger partner. And then,
Yeah, that's why you date girls.
date girls or just have a small husband like I do.
Very petite husband.
I reckon our calorie if we're working out our calories, it'd be the same. So that's useful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. I think with the, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fine.
Okay. Next question.
Yeah.
Does your body become more sensitive to leptin as you lose weight? My original question was about why do I get hungry when I have stored energy? But I Googled this and the first thing that came up was a blog that Emma wrote explaining this, and it went into leptin sensitivity. So now I'm wondering if and how this changes with weight loss. Maureen's loving this, by the way. You can't see her. She's like
buzzing with that.
Around. There you go.
This was a party popper. And then I was like, that doesn't look like a party popper.
I just saw waving hands as I was reading the question. She's very happy.
Yeah, I'm buzzing with that. Also, someone on the EC method said that they went into their gym to just get like a one-off PT session to check their form, and was like talking to one of the coaches about like who they work with and stuff. This is in like a really small town in Ohio. And they were like, oh yeah, I follow Emma Story Gordon. Anyway, the question was, do you get more sensitive to leptin as you lose weight? Yes, but you'll also have lower leptin levels due to having less body fat. But the issue with storing a lot of body fat is you have a lot of leptin and you become resistant to that leptin. But as you lose fat, as you exercise, it's kind of much like insulin resistance, you become more sensitive to leptin, and hopefully your hunger levels kind of realign. So yeah, don't worry, like it won't always be this hard. And I get it, because from one standpoint, people are like, oh, well, if you weigh more, you can diet on higher calories. It's actually easier to lose fat when you've got more fat to lose. But on the other hand, you could argue that, you know, if you're storing a lot of body fat, you're kind of in that obese range and you're resistant to leptin, like you may actually be quite a lot hungrier than what you need. So as much as you can diet on higher calories, still not that satiating for you. So, you know, it is a bit harder, but it won't always be that hard.
I go on. Thanks. Yeah. Okay. This is the one that I answered, but we can get your view on it as well. Just caught up with the great live. Can I ask a question? I'm currently doing 2 reformer strength Pilates classes a week. I find them really challenging physically and mentally. They really zone me out. I love them. I have a home gym set up. Shall I do 2 full body on top of these classes or a push and a pull? Cheers and buzz to be part of 30HD. And then cheers.
I'd quite like you to do the push and pull.
You said push and pull because I was worried you'd miss legs. I didn't see your push. So I mean,
look, to be honest, it makes little difference. Like, is there going to be a big difference between, like, the push and pull workouts are pretty full body. There's still going to be lower body within them. The other thing that you could do is rotate push pull legs anyway, even if it took you slightly longer than a week to complete them. Or you could do 2 full body workouts. I'm just thinking of the way things are programmed. Like, actually, did she say she's got a home gym? Yeah. So the way that they're programmed is like push pull legs are your main workouts. That full body workout is kind of a bit of a bonus of like things that might not have been touched so much in the other workouts. I wouldn't say it's as good a workout to do on its own if you weren't doing the other ones. And
that's why
he doesn't know that, because I wrote the workouts.
Yeah, that's why we need to get the person that wrote the workouts to answer the question. But I did say keep doing Pilates if you love it. Like, I wouldn't stop an exercise class because you think that you've got to follow.
Oh no, absolutely. Like, let's get a balance in between the two. That sounds great.
Yeah. Perfect. Next question. Hello, just wondered what the reasoning is behind increasing weight for each set. I felt really awkward having to get to 3 or 4 different sets of weights, probably my own anxiety, but wondered if there are specific benefits.
Yeah, it's basically just because I want you to lift heavier, stress your body in a slightly different way. And also you'll start with, like, say it's 12 reps, you'll start with a bit of a lighter weight and you're getting a bit of a warm up for that movement. And then you realize, hey, you can lift a bit heavier, maybe for 10 reps. And then you're going to lift heavier again for 6 to 8 reps. It basically allows you to push yourself a bit more.
Two more questions. Two more questions. I keep reading that consistency is key with workouts, and it's best to keep to the same workouts so that you're working the same muscles, if that makes sense. There are quite a few different workouts on the app, so should I be picking a few, for instance, a lower, upper, and full body, and just keep doing those?
No, all of the workouts are programmed in programs, as in, like, it'll be the gym, push-pull legs, or the home, whatever they're labeled, or like the dumbbell, but they're all labeled as such. You don't pick between them, and then you want to stick to one program consistently. It's not sticking to like one workout consistently, it's the full program of that and doing those workouts consistently. But if you're confused by like which is in which, they should be labeled quite clearly. But if they're not for you for some reason on your app, then just message us in the group. We'll tell you which exact ones to do. Because you're right, like this is one thing that we were actually just speaking about on AFM as well, but consistency is really important. But I don't think enough people are like, am I consistently doing the right things? You know, like we were always like, oh, you need to be more consistent. But it's like, there's no point being consistent on the calories that aren't getting you results, or the workouts that aren't getting you results, or the social media posts that aren't driving your business. You know, like you can be consistent and not get results because you're doing consistently the wrong things. So before you nail down the consistency, let's make sure that you're consistently doing the right things, which is, by the way, exactly why we set your targets for 30 days head down, so that we know that you're doing the right things for those 30 days, so that when you bring your head back up, we look at the results, you know, you've moved forward.
There we go. And it's good because she's only just started, so she's asked now, which is fab, so she can do that. Last one, which is one that I popped on from one of my check-ins, and it was tips for getting out of bed and getting moving. If this has been covered on an episode before, I am waking up, but then spending time just doing nothing in bed and then feel like I've wasted time. I did answer it, but thought it was a nice one to chat
about. I'm interested to hear, what was your answer?
Don't press snooze. Don't think about it. Just get up. Because as soon as I start thinking about, oh, I could stay in bed, the covers seem to suck me back in. But if I don't even engage brain, I said put your alarm clock on the other side of the room so you have to jump up and turn it off. But don't engage brain.
I quite like that. Or even just like lower the barrier of like, okay, I'm not going to, I don't necessarily have to get up, but I do have to go to the bathroom and brush my teeth. And once you've done that, honestly, you're really unlikely to go back to bed. Mel Robbins has something as well that she's like, count down from 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then you just do it. I'm like, yeah, okay. Might work for you, don't know. Now, Maureen's been doing this, testing this herself this week. Did you get up early today? You didn't, did you?
I did.
Oh.
I set my alarm for 5. And then again, at 5:15. And I said, okay, you have to be out of the bed by 6. So I was out of the bed by 6. But I woke and I turned on my light. So I was like, okay, this is like, I'm not going to go back to sleep. But like that, I'm like, oh, I'm way too cozy. I'm staying here.
Do you know what helps?
It's your optimal.
Like, do you know what helps me get out of bed? So I will, and now this is probably not something most people will want to do.
Probably not.
I pick up my phone. And there is almost always some kind of fire to put out in one of the businesses. And that just gets me right up. Like this morning, Kimberly was like, no emails can be sent from active campaigns until we've authenticated all of the websites. Like something had changed overnight or something. And I was like, shit, that needs done now. So I just got straight up, you know, like it's a bit like an adrenaline shot of like, let's go.
Yeah, but you have a slightly different wiring to most people.
And do you know what? And this is going to sound a bit cringy and like cheesy, but I genuinely wake up really excited every morning to like write or work or speak to clients or, you know, build stuff. Like I love what I do. And I think kind of similar to what Ruth was saying about like, you know what, when you love what you do, you probably don't feel the need to de-stress every night with wine. Like I'm really lucky in that respect. But I think from like a more practical standpoint, and especially if you're like, well, I don't absolutely love going to work. Okay, fine. It's probably not realistic for everyone. Then I would break it down. I'd be like, right, all I'm going to do is just get up and do this one thing. I'm going to roll out of bed and just do 5 push-ups or, you know, something that just kind of gets you up. Once you're up, it's actually not that hard. Then it only gets hard at like 3 p.m. when you're like, I want to go to bed.
I also think setting that commitment the night before as well. So if you're like, if you wake up in the morning, the alarm goes off and you've not kind of committed to getting up at that time the night before. So if you want to get up at 5, you almost need to say, oh, tomorrow I'm getting up at 5. So I'm deciding now that that's happening.
Yeah, but I think you need to have a plan for what you're going to do. Because like some days I'd be like, when I tried, well, I used to get up for the gym, obviously, at that time when I was like running classes or whatever. But then I kind of slipped back into old ways of staying in longer. But if you're just kind of getting up, oh, I'm just going to get up at this time and do what? Like, it's going to be much harder. But if you have a plan, oh, I'm going to get up at this time, and then at least I'll have time to kind of get myself into the swing of the day and have stuff to do, it's a lot easier. And I actually have found the last 2 days I am functioning a lot better from getting up earlier.
Oh, it honestly, it's life changing. Yeah. Getting up earlier, having time for yourself before you then start your day. Like, and it doesn't need to be 5 a.m. Like, it could just be from whatever time you're getting up at the moment, get up 20 minutes earlier, sit down with a coffee, write a little plan for your day, figure out what's happening, because things will have changed overnight. You know, like stuff comes up. I didn't expect to have to re-authenticate all the websites this morning. Like, stuff will come up that you didn't know was going to happen, right? Or your kid's ill, or the schools are shut, or it's going to snow, so you need to get this train, not that one, whatever. Figure out your day, and then you go into your day with like some intent and knowing what to expect, versus like, honestly, it's the difference between 20 minutes versus getting up a little bit late. When you get up a little bit late, you are rushed for your whole day. Everything you turn up to, you're a little bit stressed. And sometimes sometimes it's the most simple things. Like, you might be thinking, God, with the way that I live my life, I just feel so anxious and so on the go and so stressed all the time, and I never have any time for myself. I guarantee if you get up 20 minutes earlier, you'll feel different. I'm not saying it's going to fix all of your problems and it's the cure for anxiety, but it will certainly help, and it makes such a big difference.
And having time to yourself, if you're living in a house that's like, you know, I just want 30 minutes without the kids, like, because when they get up, it's then into getting ready for school, getting everything together. So getting up half an hour before, you know, normally it's a bit longer before, depending when they get up. But getting up a bit for them and sitting with my cup of tea, doing my Duolingo now is my thing. And just looking, like you said, to see if there's anything that has suddenly come up that I need to change. Like,
yeah, you go into your day calm and proactive instead of on the reactive and stressed.
Yeah.
What language are you learning on Duolingo?
Spanish. Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm on a 29 day streak now. I started a week later because I was inspired by Claire. I was like, oh, I haven't done any goals like that, so maybe I will. So now me and Claire are friends.
Spanish.
Pardon?
I'd love to be fluent in Spanish.
It's a useful one, isn't it? Join Duolingo. Me and Claire are friends on Duolingo now. We're doing a challenge together.
Oh,
I think we've got to get in. Yeah,
it's right, like, well, your friend's quest. Maureen and I are going to learn French.
And well, Claire's learning German, so it's not the same thing. Oh. It's just that you join a friend's quest, and it's like, if you, like, between you, you need to get over 90% in a certain number of sessions, and then you get your reward.
I do think
reward.
Spanish is probably the best language to learn.
Mm.
I'm not
it's
sure why.
Versatile.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I need to pack. So lovely to see you both. Excellent questions, everyone. Thank you very much. We'll be back next week with another Q&A. That's all.
Bye. Bye.